Come on, just tell him how good he is. How good you are. Go ahead. For the next few minutes, go ahead. Just worship him. Just worship him. Just lift your voice. Just get excited about even being alive and being in the presence of God. Go ahead. Just worship. Worship. Come on. Just take the next few seconds, the next minute or so, and just lift him up. How good you are, Lord. How good you are, Lord. How good you are, Lord. Go ahead. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. There it is. There it is. Go ahead. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. How good you are. How good you are. Go ahead. Just take the next 15, 20 more seconds. Go ahead. How good you are, Lord. Worthy. 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 You may be seated. Well, it's such a privilege to be back here with you guys here at Living Manna. This is my beautiful wife, Laura. Laura and I, we book about 48, 49 dates a year, and our whole heart's desire is to see healing and revival come to our churches here in America again, our Pentecostal churches here in America. You know, I go into a couple Pentecostal churches, and you wouldn't be able to tell if they were Pentecostal or Presbyterian. You knew it started with a P, but you wouldn't be sure which one. But we are believing that God is wanting to revive His bride again. Amen. And what we've been seeing happen on the road for the last several months to the last few years is just people coming to the altars, just pressing in and hungry and thirsty for the presence of God. How many are hungry and thirsty for the presence of God this morning? I was at a church a few weeks back out in Columbus, and a lady said, I said, well, there's going to be dancing happening here at the end of the service. And she says, I've never seen anybody dance in this service. She said, in this church, and she had been there for a long time, I guess. I said, well, you're going to see it at the end of this service. And after the service, the whole church was dancing in the spirit, and she said, I didn't think I'd ever see this happen here. How many know God can do stuff like that? Amen. He wants to break out. He wants you to break out. Come on, amen. Well, we've been seeing people just hungry and thirsty, pressing into the presence of God and just not wanting to leave the altar. How many of you ever just gotten to the presence of God and just didn't want to leave? We've been seeing people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. We'll see anywhere from 10, 20, up to 50, 60 people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the physical evidence of speaking in tongues and not one person walking away without getting it. How many know that's in Book of Acts stuff? Amen. But some of the stuff that's near and dear to Laura and I's heart is all the healing testimonies we've seen. We've seen thousands of people instantly healed. I saw where Pastor Sam just posted one of our Facebook pages to the church's Facebook page a couple days ago. We were out in a church just a few weeks back in Columbus, and we had seen a young boy who had cerebral palsy. His feet went out like this, completely like this. And we had prayed for this young boy, and his feet came back in. He couldn't lift them any higher than like 4 to 6 inches off the floor. And God just instantly healed him. He was kicking his knees up to his chest pretty much. He had never been able to bring him up that high at all. And God just instantly healed him. There was another young man there. He's about 30 years old. And he was legally blind in his right eye. And God instantly healed him like that. We had him stand in the back of the sanctuary, and I was putting up fingers, and he was able to tell me everything. He said, I had not been able to see anything like that. It's just been a big blur since I've been a kid. He had had some kind of bacterial infection happen, and it caused that eye to go blind and just get blurry, and God just instantly healed him. How many know God can do stuff like that here this morning? Amen. He can do stuff like that. Amen. We were at a church last November in Harrisburg, and a young boy, he had spina bifida. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but he essentially become paralyzed from the waist down. A little 4-year-old boy was just sitting there. He had braces on his legs, And I was talking to his mother, and I said, "Well, what's wrong with him? He's in a wheelchair." And she said, "Well, he has spina bifida, and he's never been able to move anything from the waist down." No sooner did we start praying for this little boy, he's sitting there in his wheelchair, and he takes his left leg and he starts bouncing it in the wheelchair like this. And then I didn't even have to really say something. I was getting ready to tell him, "Why don't you try to get up and walk on that?" And he lifted himself up out of the wheelchair and started dragging his right leg and started walking on that left leg. How many know God can do stuff like that? Amen. We were praying for a lady a few months back, and she had called us 3 weeks after we had prayed for her. And she called us on the phone, and she's yelling in the phone. She's going, "Brother Jason," and she's laughing and crying. I can't make out a thing she's saying. And she finally calmed down. She says, "The cancer's gone." She was in stage 4 lung cancer. Stage 4. Hey, you don't come back from that. And the doctor said he couldn't find any of it. How many know God can do stuff like that? We were at a church back in March up in Girard, Pennsylvania. How many know where Girard is? It's like pretty close to Erie. You're probably about maybe an hour from Erie, probably, right? And this young lady came forward. She had 3 kids. By the time we were able to pray with her, it was actually 3:00 in the afternoon, just because the altar call was just going so long. And by the time we got to her, it was 3 in the afternoon. And she had had 2 large tumors in the back of her head right here. And she had 1 in the front right side of her forehead. And she had told me, she said, "I can't afford my chemo treatments anymore. I've just stopped taking them." Can you imagine having to stop taking your treatments because you can't afford it anymore? And we started praying with her, and those tumors were the size of golf balls. She came back at 6:00, 3 hours later, and she came up, and the 2 tumors in the back completely disappeared. And the one on the front right side was starting to go down. Now, I had my hand back on her head. I felt those things. They were protruding out of her head. They were completely gone. You could actually see where the skin was, where the part was coming up from the hair, and you could see where they were, but they were just completely gone. I mean, no, God can do stuff like that. And I think sometimes we think, well, if God really wants to heal me, he can do it. No, my friends, it's part of God's will to heal. Amen. And he wants to see people made well. So if you know anybody who has a physical, mental, or emotional need, get them out to these services tonight. Amen. You know, Pastor, you were talking this morning about, you know, wanting to see God move and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm going to be talking tonight about valuing a move of God. How many know that if you want to see God move, you got to at least value when he shows up to start moving? A lot of people don't even value that. That's why they don't even come to church anymore. They want to come in for an hour and that's it, you know? Well, how many know that if we're going to value what God wants to do, you got to be at least willing to stick around to see what he does? Amen? So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Listen, we have a product table over here, and there's some CDs, some books over there, and I'm not going to touch too much on that, but if you would be interested in anything like that, Laura will be up here after the service, and you can just see her, and she'll talk you through all that. I'm going to be inviting Pastor back up here in the next few minutes. We are going to take the offering up now. We're not going to do it at the end of the service. I know a lot of evangelists like that taken up at the end of the service. I don't like doing that because I don't want to mess with God, what God does at the end of the service. Amen? I don't want to have time to stop and then mess around with the offering to be able to do what God wants to do at the end. Amen? So that's why we're going to do that. But we want to thank you for sowing into us this morning. We want to thank you for having us this morning. Some of you might be sitting there saying, "Well, I want to hear whether you stink or not before I sow into you." Well, let's just believe God's got good stuff in store this morning. Amen. And, you know, if you were here the last time, you might probably remember us. Amen. So we're just going to believe God's going to show up this morning and just going to have a good time in the presence of God. Pastor, I'm going to ask you to come back.
This is going to be a percentage offering. 80% goes to me. 20% to him. That's not fair. You know what? The Bible says that the servant is worthy of his hire. And so I know that God is going to do something phenomenal. I know the last time he was here, several people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Several people got healed. And so you say, well, why does it have to come through a certain person? God has given gifts to the church. He has given the gift of a pastor, a prophet, an evangelist. And the evangelist is kind of, if you look on a finger, the evangelist is kind of right there in the middle, because the evangelist is the one that brings a heated message and gives you an overview of the atmosphere.
I believe your name was Sandy. Is Sandy still in here? Sandy. We were downstairs having coffee and donuts, and she was teaching Sunday school, and she was talking about the presence of God. And it sort of, you know, perked my ears up a little bit, and I just stood there and just sat there and just was listening to her. And she started talking. She says, you know, we need the presence of God. We need to carry the presence of God. And, you know, God wants us lingering in His presence. And as she was saying all this, she turned around and she looked at me. And she said something like, I just feel like whatever is going to happen, it's going to line up with whatever you're saying today. And I said, well, you are absolutely right. What we are going to be talking about this morning is God encounters. God encounters. How many know that God wants you to have an encounter with Him daily? You know, I think sometimes what we think is that we have this one-time occurrence with God. Like, we might meet with God one time 20 years ago. You know, maybe it was we were in a bar and we were just at our wits' end, and God came and He saved us and He set us free. And it was the last time we had an encounter with Him. How many know that should not be the case? God wants us to be having encounters with Him all the time. And I want to tell you that here this morning, God not only doesn't want to only just meet with you as an individual. He wants to meet with you individually. He wants to meet with you personally. But He wants to meet with you also as a church, as a corporate body. He wants to come and visit this community. How many know that God wants to have a visitation with this community? He wants to make Himself known. So God can make Himself known to in many facets, to individuals, to churches, to groups. But God wants us to have an encounter with Him. If you was, how many of you are note takers in here this morning? If you're a note taker, raise your hand. Well, I'm going to be giving you a lot of notes, so you better get ready. The definition for the word encounter is to have an unexpected or casual meeting with someone or something. That's what the definition for encounter is. To have an unexpected or casual meeting with someone or something. How many are ready to have an unexpected meeting with God this morning? Come on. He wants to meet with us unexpectedly. Anytime that God ever shows up, 99.9% of the time, it is unexpected. You weren't expecting it. Come on. Just think about that sometimes. Whenever you have ever met with God, you weren't planning it, were you? He just showed up unexpectedly. And that's what this encounters means. It means to have an unexpected meeting with someone or something. Actually, in the Hebrew, there are four or five words that make up the word encounter. And all of them have to do with judgment, except for one word. And that one word in the Hebrew is naphal. Naphal. And naphal is spelled N-I-P-H-A-L. N-I-P-H-A-L. And it means to meet unexpectedly. How many know that God encounters is you meeting with God unexpectedly? Do you know God wants to have an unexpected meeting with you this morning? He wants to come and just meet with you this morning. And you might not even be expecting it this morning. Those are God encounters when we aren't expecting God to show up. But He shows up anyways. Amen. Actually, in the Webster's Dictionary, one of the best dictionaries you can find that gives you definitions of words. In the Webster's Dictionary, encounter means to meet face to face, to have a face to face meeting. That's what the Webster's Dictionary is. To have a face to face meeting, that's what encounter means, to have a face to face meeting. When I think of that definition, I think about Moses, when the Bible says he had a face-to-face meeting with God, like a man does with his friend. Do you know that you can have those kind of encounters with God, where you have face-to-face meetings with God, like a man does with his friend? It might be unexpected, but God wants you to have those face-to-face meetings with Him this morning, those God encounters where He shows up, and you're just face-to-face with Him. Amen? Well, this morning, before I get into the bulk of the message, I want to just share with you a few God encounters that I had had in my life that has changed my life. How many of you have ever had a God encounter that changed your life? I think if you're going to have a God encounter, it should change your life. Amen? You should walk away from that thing and just be completely changed. Now, I don't know about you, but there's the most times that God ever shows up to talk to me, where I have the most God encounters, is either when I'm eating or when I'm taking a shower. Now, I don't know why God wants to show up in the shower with me, but the most time I ever have an unexpected God encounter, it's either when I'm eating or taking a shower. And God just comes and He just starts revealing stuff, and He starts speaking stuff to me. One of the God encounters that pretty much shook me up and changed my life one time was, I remember I was dating a young Christian girl that I had met at church. And I was dating her for about 6 months and saw nothing wrong with the relationship. You know, she was born again, I was born again, both spirit-filled, and didn't see nothing wrong with it. Just because I didn't doesn't mean God didn't see anything wrong with it. And one day her and I met up at this park, and we were sitting on this park bench. And there was kids on the playground and people having picnics and, you know, baseball field and stuff. And we were just sitting on this park bench, and God showed up unexpectedly. I was just sitting there, and He just spoke to me, and He said, "Get up! Get out of here and don't ever see this girl ever again." My friends, I stood up from that park bench and went over in the baseball field and paced back and forth for a half hour. Just pacing back and forth, going, whoo! Just the presence of God was just so strong. That was an unexpected God encounter. Amen. Luckily, that girl and I drove separate cars to that park because that would have been an awkward conversation on the way home. Amen. But see, sometimes God will have an encounter with you like that to get your attention. Sometimes God encounters is God trying to keep you from something. He's trying to lead you in a different direction. How many know that when you have a God encounter, it might be God's up to something? Come on now. Let me say that again. If you have an encounter with God, God might be up to something. He's trying to lead you somewhere. He's trying to get you to go in a certain direction. I remember another God encounter that I had was when I was about 17, 18 years old. I was really just seeking the face of God. I really wanted to know God. I wanted to sense His presence. I wanted to know Him more. I wanted to have an encounter with God. And when I tell you this story, you're probably going to look at me and tell me I need heavily medicated. I'm just going to tell you that right up front. But I remember being 17 years old, standing on this side of the altar. It was at an evangelistic crusade. They had an evangelist in for 3 or 4 days, and I was standing here at the altar, and I was just worshiping God, and I had this sound come out of my mouth. It was not tongues. It wasn't anything else, but it sounded like a musical instrument. It sounded like a trumpet coming out of my mouth, and my mouth was moving. My tongue was moving. I couldn't control what was happening with my mouth. And it just sounded like a trumpet coming out of my mouth. And I told you, you were going to think I needed heavily medicated. But I know what I heard, and I'll tell you what, people around me heard what the same thing I heard. I remember my buddy who introduced me to my wife standing on this side of me right here. I was in the middle, and he was standing right here, and there was a little old lady that was standing on this side of me. And I remember him looking around me like this, looking at that little old lady, and then both looking back at each other saying, "Do you hear what's coming out of his mouth? How's he doing that?" How many know that God wants us to... Those God encounters... But I tell you what, this is what happens sometimes with God encounters. Do you know what I ended up doing after that? I started going back to the church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, going back to that same spot every Wednesday night and trying to get that same thing to happen all over again. And it never happened. And then you know what ended up happening, Pastor Sam? I would beat myself up saying, "What's wrong, God? You don't love me anymore? Why can't you show up like you did like you did before?" And what ended up happening was I started chasing after an experience instead of chasing after God. And see, that's what sometimes we'll do. We'll chase after an experience and not chase after the encounter. My friends, we want to have the encounter with God, not the experience. Amen? Don't chase after experiences. Chase after Him. That's why the Bible says over in Psalm 63, verse 8, "My soul chases hard after you, God." Come on. How many know the Bible says, "If you seek me with all your heart, you shall what? Find me." We should chase after God, not after experiences this morning. Amen? You know, so often we chase after experiences. People chase after things. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've come across people who will follow around evangelists and prophets all over the United States just because they think they're going to get something from that person. That's chasing after an experience. It's chasing after something else. We need to be chasing after God, my friends. Amen? Amen? Well, I want to share one more God encounter that I had. And I told you God encounters will change your life. Amen? When I was first called into the ministry, I'd gone to Bible school and finished up and just was waiting on God to see what I was supposed to do. And actually, when I met Laura, I told her I was going to be an evangelist. And one day, I was working at a grocery store. That's what I did, and I had a day off one day. So that day, I went to Ponderosa for lunch by myself. And I was sitting there, and I was eating. I told you God talked to me when I eat. I was just sitting there in Ponderosa, and I was looking out the window. I had a window seat, and I was looking out the window. I was just meditating on God. And God just showed up unexpectedly, and He said this to me. He says, I'm going to bring a woman to you today, and she's going to prophesy over you how your ministry is going to grow, how I'm going to use you in the gift of healing, and how I'm going to send you all over, and you ain't going to believe what I'm going to be able to do through you. And I got all excited. And I thought to myself, man, this is going to be awesome. An hour went by and nobody ever came. 2 hours went by and nobody ever came. 3 hours went by, still nobody ever came to prophesy me this. Finally, on the fourth, fifth hour, I'm starting to get discouraged, saying to myself, maybe I didn't hear God. Maybe that might have been that steak talking. I don't know. And I'm thinking to myself, I thought I heard God, but maybe I didn't. Finally, about 5:30, 6 o'clock, I ended up driving over to Laura's house. She was still living with her parents. We weren't married yet. And I went into her house and I said, hey, listen, God told me something exciting today. He said he was going to bring a woman to me and she was going to prophesy to me about how my ministry is going to grow. Do you have anything for me? And at the time, Laura was a Southern Baptist, so she didn't have nothing for me. And her and her mother were the only two Christian women I was going to see that day. And I definitely knew her mother didn't have anything for me because she was Southern Baptist too. So her and I ended up hopping into her car, which was a 1989 Chevy Cavalier. How many remember the 89 Chevy Cavalier? That's when Chevy still used to make good cars. And we hopped into her car and we drove to this place called Peterswood Trail. And we started walking on this trail. And as we were walking on this trail, we come up to these three large pavilions. And in the middle pavilion, there was the song Days of Elijah being played. How many remember the song Days of Elijah? These are the days of Elijah. And we walk up to this pavilion. And as we walk up to the pavilion, we see these three gentlemen standing off to the side. So we walk over and we just start talking to them. We said, hey, we heard Days of Elijah being played. What church are you guys with? He says, oh, we're not a church. And he said, we're just here hanging out waiting for our wives. And it was just three guys. And I said, oh, really? He says, yeah, this is a Woman's Aglow Fellowship. Now, I don't know if you know what a Woman's Aglow Fellowship is, but it used to be a very prominent Pentecostal charismatic fellowship just for women. And how many know that if God's going to speak to you through a woman, it's going to be at a Woman's Aglow Fellowship? Amen. So we were standing there, and I look, and these guys tell me this, and I look out, and I see just 60, 70 women underneath this pavilion, and they're just there worshiping and talking and just, you know, having fellowship and everything. And as we were talking to these three guys, this lady, there was a row of picnic tables straight down, and then there was an open space through the middle. And as we were standing there, this lady from nowhere, her name was Nancy, she comes barreling down through these picnic tables like this. She comes down, she throws her hand down on my head, and she was a little lady. And she throws her hand down on my head, and she starts speaking into my life, and she says, God told me to tell you that your ministry is going to grow one day. He's going to use you in the gift of healing. He's going to send you all over the world. You ain't going to believe what God will do through you. My friends, I got laid out in the presence of God right there. Listen, that encounter that I had has been what's been keeping me go for the last 20 years. Because what God spoke 20 years ago, I'm seeing happen now. See, I want to tell you, God will come and speak something to you, and you might not see it right away, but you'll see it one day, amen? You'll see it one day. And actually, that's going to take us to the very first person we're going to talk about today in the Bible. Go ahead and open up to Genesis. Open up to Genesis, and just for time's sake, we're not going to read all of this. I'm just pretty much going to expound on it a little bit. Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 22. Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 22. This is the story of Jacob when he had the open heavens experience, when he saw Jacob's ladder. How many remember this story? And here the story goes that Jacob is on the run from his brother Esau, because he thinks Esau is going to kill him. I remember reading this. He believes Esau is going to kill him, so he's on the run from his brother. Turns out his brother wasn't going to kill him after all. But he's on the run from his brother, thinking his brother's going to kill him. And Jacob ends up stopping at a place called Bethel. And when he stops at Bethel that night, the Bible says he ends up taking a rock and sticks it up underneath his head to go to sleep. How many of you have ever tried sleeping with a rock underneath your head? Anybody in here ever tried doing that? Do you know how hard-headed you would have to be to sleep with a rock underneath your head? Come on now. Amen. How hard-headed do you have to be to sleep with a rock underneath your head? But this is what it tells me, my friends. God can take the most hard-headed, stubborn person in this world, even maybe even in this room, and change them with a God encounter. Come on now. Amen. Do you know, I've seen people that I would have never thought would have came to God, but did. They were so hard-headed, so stubborn. One of them was my grandfather. My grandfather accepted the Lord because God showed up. I'll tell you what happened. My grandfather was sitting on the front porch one day, and I said, I was just witnessing to him. I was giving him scripture. And he says, I don't want to hear none of that. He got up and slammed the screen door on my face and went in the house, and about 5-10 minutes later, I went back in. I walk in. He's sitting on the couch, bawling like a baby. And I looked at him. I said, Pap, I said, Hebrews chapter 4 says, today if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. I said, do you hear his voice speaking to you right now? He says, I hear it. I hear it. He was an atheist. He accepted Christ right there. How many know God can take the most hard-headed, stubborn person in the world? Come on, amen. So here Jacob is. He's sleeping with this rock up underneath his head. And the Bible says that the heavens opened up. How many know what God encounters? God will open up the heavens over your life. Amen. It says he opened up the heavens and the angels, there was a ladder that was there, and the angels began to ascend and descend upon this ladder. I want us to take a look at this. Read this. Genesis chapter 28, verse 16 and 17. Now Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Notice what he says there in verse 16. He says, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord was in this place, and I did not know it. How often does God show up unexpectedly out of the blue into your life, and maybe you're not even aware of it sometimes? Come on. I'll tell you, I believe that happens more often than what we think, where God shows up and we're not aware of it. And I've been in church services before where God showed up in worship and people weren't even aware of it. God shows up all the time sometimes, and I think sometimes we might not be aware of it. But I want to tell you, God wants us to hone in. He wants us to learn how to distinguish when he shows up so that we can experience those God encounters with him. Come on now, amen? So here Jacob is. He says, surely the Lord was in this place. I did not know it. Look what it goes on and says in verse 17. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. I love how he says, how awesome is this place? How many know that wherever God shows up is going to be awesome? Come on now. Whether it's here at the church or sitting in your kitchen or driving down the road, God can show up. You can have an unexpected meeting with God, and I'll tell you what, that will be the most awesome time you will ever have in your life. My wife and I, we went to a place called Simmons Farm yesterday. She wanted to go look for some flowers to plant in our front yard. And this place, how many herbs did you say that they had? 20 different kinds of mints. I didn't even know there was that many kind of mint. And they had all sorts of stuff. And she was in there looking at the mints. I went outside and I was walking around where they had the trees that you could buy to plant in your yards. You know, all sort of different kind of little pine trees and ferns and all this stuff. And I was just walking around in the trees and I just started worshiping God. And all of a sudden God just showed up there. He starts talking to me. He starts speaking to me. How many know it could be in your garden, it could be wherever, and God just starts showing up. God encounters, you know, I think sometimes we make it so hard to have a God encounter. I think we have to muster something up, or you know, we have to go through some formula. It doesn't work like that, my friends. God wants to show up. And wherever he shows up, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a one awesome place and one awesome time. Amen. Look what it goes on. It says, this is none other than the house of God. He was declaring that this place right here, this is the house of God. This is the place where I can come meet with God. This is God's house. I've just entered the house of God, where God is, where God dwells. How many know if there's any place we should be able to have a God encounter, it should be in the house of God. Amen. He goes on and says, and this is the gate of heaven. How many know that God wants to open up the gates of heaven over your life? That's a God encounter where God opens up the gates of heaven over you. You know, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 says that I will open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing on you that you won't even be able to obtain it. That you won't even have enough room to contain everything that I'm going to do. Those are, my friends, God wants you to have a God encounter where you get so blessed, he just blesses your socks off you, that you wouldn't even be able to not have enough room to contain all the blessings and all the presence that he has for you. That's the kind of encounters God wants us to have. Those times where we are blessed because he opened up the gates of heaven over our lives. Amen. Now the story goes on, and for time's sake, we're not going to go on. But there in Genesis, in Genesis 35, we were just in 28, but over in 35, and you don't have to turn there. But in Genesis 35, God ends up telling Jacob to go back to Bethel. Go back to the place where I first spoke to you. Where I first revealed myself to you. Where I told you what you were going to do. Now, what did he tell him he was going to do? He told him that there was going to be many nations that came out from who he was. But how did he know how to go back to Bethel? How did he know where Bethel even was? How did he know to go back to Bethel over in Genesis 35? Because he tells him over in Genesis 28, take the rock that you had up underneath your head. Take that rock and set it up as a memorial, as a place of where I met with you. See, sometimes what we do is when we have God encounters, we forget the places where God spoke to us. What even, maybe God spoke and revealed to us at one time. You know that story that I told you about what God did about speaking to me about a woman coming and prophesying to me? My friends, I revisit that in my mind almost on a daily basis. Because it was a promise that God gave me that I saw came to pass, and I'm seeing it still come to pass. We need to set up memorials, whether it's in our mind or physically, maybe with a rock like Jacob did. But we need to set up these reminders of what God spoke to us and he's still going to do. That's what God encounters do for us. I have a friend who on Facebook, him and his wife had bought a whole bunch of tickets, airline tickets, and they flew to all these different places where God spoke to them. And his wife was videotaping. He was standing there. And they videotaped him and they put it on Facebook. And he went to Brownsville School of Revival. That's where Brownsville Revival broke out. He went to the Bible school there. And he was standing there and it was in a parking lot. And I think I remember seeing 67 on the floor. It was number 67 in the parking lot. And he said, right here is where God spoke to me and told me 25 years ago that I was going to be a pastor. And he went back and visited that place 25 years later as a reminder of what God spoke to, what God promised him. Listen, when you have a God encounter, I'm sure God's going to promise you something in that encounter. He's going to reveal something to you. He's going to speak something to you. He's going to make, but here's something you have to do. Sometimes you have to go back and revisit it. You have to go back to Bethel sometimes to re-examine what God spoke to you. Amen. Pastor Sam, how often do you sometimes even go back in your own mind and say, this is when God called me into the ministry. This is what God spoke to me. This is why I'm doing what I'm doing now, because God spoke it back then. We got to go back to those places sometimes. Amen. Let's go ahead and take a look at the second person. We're going to be talking about four people this morning. who had God encounters in the Bible. But let's go ahead and take a look at the second person now. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 20. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 20. And it's the story of Moses at the burning bush. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 20. Here Moses is. He's out on the backside of the desert. And he's attending sheep for his father-in-law, Jethro. Just him and a bunch of stinky sheep. He's all out there by himself. And God shows up. And how does God show up? Does anybody remember how God shows up? He shows up in a burning bush. And the Bible says that Moses sees this burning bush. And he says to himself, I will go see why the bush is burning and not being consumed. And as he gets closer and closer to this bush, God speaks out from the bush and he says what? Take off your sandals, take off your shoes, for you are what? Standing on holy ground. Didn't we sing about that this morning? Here, the reason why God told him that was because he was standing on holy ground. It was because it was a time to get reverence in his heart. How many know that when God shows up, it's a holy time? I think that sometimes in God encounters, we have to understand that we can't just haphazardly just go walking into the presence of God without reverence in our heart. Amen? And he tells him, take off your shoes, take off your sandals. You're standing on holy ground. And he starts revealing to Moses how he's going to take the children of Israel out of Egypt. Sounds like a big task, doesn't it? 2 million Jews he's supposed to take out of Egypt's captivity. Let me ask you, how many of you would have felt like you would have been up to that task? Anybody in this room? Neither did Moses. Because Moses started arguing with God and he said, but God, how can I do this? I can't talk straight. See, Moses had a stuttering problem. He's telling God, I can't do this. I can't talk straight. How am I supposed to do this? Well, I may know that God will give you something. God wouldn't tell you to do something. God wouldn't speak something to you. God wouldn't reveal something to you in an encounter that you had with him unless he knew that you were able to do it. Amen? And you know what the next thing is after God speaks all this stuff to Moses? Do you know what Moses goes and does? He goes and has his brother be a mouthpiece for him. He allowed Aaron to do all the talking for him. Now, who was supposed to do all the talking? But then he gave it to his brother Aaron because he felt like he was inadequate to do it. Listen, don't ever feel inadequate as something God told you to do. And don't ever give the task or job that God gave you to do to somebody else. Amen? I remember I was at a church one time. I was on staff, and I was on staff as the youth pastor. And sometimes, occasionally, what would happen is somebody that was on staff would come to me and they would say, hey, listen, we're going to give you this and you're going to do this and you're going to do that and you're going to do this. And they just kept on giving me this stuff and I didn't want to do any of it. Turns out the pastor was telling them to do it and they were coming to me and telling me to do it. And then one day I ended up going to the pastor. I said, did you want me to do this? They said, no, I told them to do it. I said, well, they've been telling me to do all this stuff, you know? Now, don't go do something that God told you to do. Amen. Don't go pass it off to somebody else. So Moses is hearing from God, and he's having a God encounter. Now, this wasn't the last time God was going to meet with Moses, was it? No. You know, he met with God plenty of times. If there was any man in the Bible who met with God the most, it had to be Moses. One of my favorite chapters to read about Moses having God encounters is over in Exodus 33 and 34. And just for time's sake, we're not going to go over there and read that. I'm just going to expound a little bit on it. But it says that Moses would go into the tent of meetings. The tent of meetings. What was that Webster's Dictionary again? To have a face-to-face meeting? Who was he meeting with inside that tent? He was meeting with God, wasn't he? And they called it the tent of meeting, a meeting place between him and God. And it says over there in Genesis 33 that he would go in there, or Exodus 33, he would go in there and have face-to-face meetings with God like a man does with his friend. Here he is just having a face-to-face encounter with God all the time. Do you know that you can have that kind of experience with God too? Come on now. You could be meeting with God face-to-face every day, like a man does with his friend, just like Moses. The Bible says that the new covenant is way better than the old covenant. And if that's all Moses had, how much greater? The Bible says that we can come now, what, boldly to the throne room of grace. I can come directly into the presence of God and have a face-to-face meeting with God every day. And the Bible says that when he would have these face-to-face meetings in the tent of meetings with God, he would hear everything God had spoken to him, and he would go down the mountain and share it with the people. But the one interesting thing that I've always found, and it's over in Exodus 34, was when Moses would leave the tent of meeting to go share with the people everything God told him, it says that Joshua would stand outside that tent and just hang out there. Pastor Sam, I would read that and I would think to myself, why would Joshua, a young man, want to hang out at that temple? What was the reason that Moses wrote that? Why was it so important for us to know that Joshua was hanging out in front of that tent? What was the reason for it? And I was thinking about this and thinking about this, and the only thing I could come up with was that young man wanted what Moses had inside that tent. He wanted to meet with God. He couldn't go in that tent, but he wanted to be as close as he could to it because he knew God was in there. He knew Moses met with God in there. But I want to tell you, I feel that so much nowadays that the young people in our churches want to have a God encounter. You know, I'll go to churches and I'll see young people pressing in. Sometimes I'll see the young people pressing in sometimes more than the older people will be. And they want God. They want a move of God. They want to see God. But what they've been given for the last 20, 25 years is a foosball table and laser light rock show with a fog machine. And they've been shoved this stuff down their throat and told this is what we're going to give you. When all along, all they wanted was just a meeting with God. I'll tell you what, my friends, there's a lot of churches that have ruined this younger generation of even knowing who God is and what they could have with God. I mean, I know the young people want to have a move of God. They want to see. They want to encounter with God. They want to meet with Him. They want to know who He is. Listen, that takes us to the next person we're going to talk about. Another young man who had a God encounter. Go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And we're going to read this. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verses 1 through 21. And when you're there, say there. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1 through 21. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1 through 21. And this is what it says. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before the Lord, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Now notice what it says here. It says, now the word of the Lord was rare in those days. In other words, God wasn't speaking anymore, was he? And it also says that there was no widespread revelation. In other words, God wasn't speaking anymore. He wasn't revealing himself anymore. It was just almost like it was cut off. And the reason why was because God couldn't speak through people because they were living in sin. And we're going to learn that here in a little while. But Eli was the priest at that time. And he was an evil, wicked man because he let his kids run rampant and do whatever they wanted. So God couldn't speak at that time. He couldn't reveal himself at that time. Look at verse 2. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here am I, for you have called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." And he went and laid down. Verse 6. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for you have called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel a third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for did you not call me?" Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Verse 9. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and laid down in his place. Verse 10. Now the Lord came and stood and called as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Now notice here that this little 8-year-old boy had God call him how many times? It was 3 times, but he didn't get it till the 4th time, did he? Now usually they say 3rd time's a charm, right? But he did not know that God was speaking. He didn't know God was revealing himself to him. And see, sometimes when it comes to God encounters, you might not know God showed up. You might not even know that it's God speaking. It has to come to a point of where you actually get like a spiritual Holy Ghost sonar to pick up on God actually talking sometimes. And I believe that once we get that, it's going to be so easy to be able to hear from God. It's going to be so easy to know when God shows up in the room. How many know that God wants you to be able to be keen and have almost like another sense in the spirit realm of when he shows up and when he starts talking and when he starts revealing himself? Now I want you to notice here in verse 10, there's something that jumps out that God did differently than he did the other 3 times. Now, I want you to go ahead and take a look at that. And whenever you think you have the answer, go ahead and tell me. What is different in verse 10 that was different than the other times? He called him by his name twice. That's very good. That is something that he didn't do the other time. Somebody else called something out too. He came and stood. See, the other times he just called to him, but now he's actually standing in the presence of God. See, my friends, I believe that when God encounters happens, God comes and he's in your midst. You are in the presence of God. When we get that close to God, we know that he's going to speak, he's going to reveal, he's going to make himself known. He wants to show up that close to us, that we'd have that personal encounter with him, that we know that he's in the room, that he's standing right there next to us, and we're having that personal encounter with him. Amen? For time's sake, we're going to jump down a little bit. Jump down to verse 19. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Verse 21. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now notice here in verse 21. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. Now, was that just a one-time deal for Samuel? Was that just a one-time deal? No. He appeared again to him later on in life, didn't he? He appeared to him probably throughout his whole life, but he appeared to him again in Shiloh. And he revealed himself. He was speaking to himself. He was speaking to him. Now, that word Shiloh, if you would look that up in the Hebrew, It actually means a place of rest. How many know that when God takes you and puts you into a place of where you're going to have a God encounter, there should be rest in that? How many know God encounters should take us to a place of rest? God encounters should take us to a place where we are able to rest in the presence of God. You know, a lot of us don't know how to rest in the presence of God. We can't stay quiet long enough to even get into the presence of God. You know, life is so busy. There's that time where we come to that place of shallow where God is just there, and those God encounters bring us that rest. Amen? Let's take a look at the last one. We're going to take a look at Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. This is the story of Saul on the road to Damascus. Now, some of you might be saying, why did you call him Saul? That was his name. He ended up getting a name change later on. Paul's on the road to Damascus, and the Bible says he was going around persecuting the church. He was putting Christians to death, and he was thinking that he was doing God's will by doing this. How many know that sometimes you'll do wrong and think it's right when it's really wrong? And then God shows up to change you. The Bible says as he's on the road to Damascus, he falls to the ground. And Jesus says, why are you kicking against me? Why are you persecuting the church? And it says that while Jesus is speaking, he sees Jesus. He hears Jesus' voice. But the others around him don't see nothing. They only hear it. I was reading that one day, Pastor Sam, and something jumped out at me. Not everybody will see what you see when God reveals himself to you. They might be able to hear it. They might be able to hear about it. But they might not be able to see it with their own eyes. Now, there's a scripture verse over in Proverbs where it says, don't go around telling everybody the plans that God has given you. Well, there's reasons for that. Some is it may talk you out of it. Some of them might say you're stupid and it's not ever going to work. That's pretty much what the men were telling Noah, you know. You're building this boat and for what reason, you know? People aren't going to understand what God speaks to you sometimes. That's why you shouldn't go around telling everybody, amen? And the Bible says that as he's on the road to Damascus, Jesus shows up and he tells him, why are you kicking against me? Why are you persecuting the church? And these men hear this, but they don't see it. What ends up happening after this is life transformational. It changes Paul from who he was to something new, something different. How many know God encounters will change you? Listen, if you have an encounter with God and it doesn't change you, then you truly didn't have a God encounter. The Bible says Paul gets up from that area. The men have to lead him because he has scales that cover his eyes. And he had to end up going to, I believe it was Ananias' house, for him to pray over him so that the scales could fall off. See, what happened was, he had scales on his eyes. He wasn't able to see. But once Jesus revealed himself, once he had this encounter with Jesus, it changed his life forever to do something God told him to do. And see, what God wants to do is he wants to give you a new set of eyes this morning. See, when we have God encounters, it should give us a new set of eyes to be able to see things the way that God wants us to see it. But how many know that sometimes we got to get the old scales off our eyes so we can see clearly? See, Paul couldn't see anything. But when those scales falled off his eyes, he went straight in to start doing what God called him to do. I believe it was like 2 days after this had happened. He was in the temple praying and witnessing to people right off the bat. He got right to work, didn't he, Pastor Sam? And see, what we should do is when God reveals himself, when we have a God encounter, we should get right to work. Because it should be that life-changing when we have a God encounter. God encounter should upset and quickly change our lives for the better. How many know that God encounter should just wreck your life this morning? It should wreck you. It should change you. It should do something totally transformational that you don't look like the same person anymore. Actually, people said that in the book of Acts. Is this the same guy that went around persecuting the church? And now he's preaching this gospel, the same thing that he was persecuting. And they were scared of him. See, people should be able to see a change in your life when you have a God encounter. Amen. I want to ask you this morning, would you just stand to your feet real quick? And we're just going to go and we're just going to chase after God. We're pray for those to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Mostly tonight, we're going to be praying for those who have a physical, mental, and emotional need. But tonight, this morning, we're just going to ask God just to show up, reveal himself, make himself known. As I said, tonight, we're going to be talking about valuing a move of God. I believe that God wants to show up. He wants to move. He wants to make himself known. But this morning, we're just going to seek after God. It says, if you seek me with all your heart, you shall find me. My friends, there's no reason why we can't have God encounters this morning. And it's something you don't have to muster up. It's not something that you have to, you know, beg and plead for. God wants to make himself known to his people. He wants to reveal himself. So I just want to ask you this morning, would you just go ahead and lift up your hands and just begin worshiping him right now? And I'm going to ask you as a church, I don't want you to feel out of place this morning. I want you thinking about what are people going to say about me? What are people going to think about me? The most God encounters I've ever had in my life, the most God encounters I see is around the altars. You know, a lot of churches, they don't believe in the altar anymore. They don't believe in altar calls. And I usually don't do very well in those churches because I believe in the altar. I believe in the altar call. I believe that God still meets people at the altar. So I'm going to ask you this morning, if this is your home church, this is the place that you've come to meet with God. This is the house of God. This is your meeting place with him. I want you to come meet with him this morning. And I want you to come meet with him around the altar. I want to ask you, would you just, as a congregation, as a body of believers, just make your way out and just come and just begin pressing in to the presence of God. As you come, just lift your hands to him. Just begin worshiping him.